Thank you, Larry. Is that Kurt Kaiser? Oh, man. So good. Hey, we are glad that you are here. What a gift. Your face, your presence, your song is just a primary way that we know that Christ is risen, that Christ is present, and we're grateful that you would join us for worship. If there's any way that we can follow up, I invite you to complete a card or a prayer card in front of you, and we just take those with the utmost seriousness. We're just honored to gather as a staff around those, particularly those prayer requests on Monday, and honored that you would share those with us. You can place them in the offering box as it comes by in just a little bit. And I know I'm not Pastor Cheryl. I'm not near as good at the announcement as she is. She's been on a year-long cohort program study experience with the Baptist Women in Ministry, and she's finished up. This was her last weekend, I believe, in that program, and just doing a great job. And okay, if you haven't, I would encourage you, invite you to consider our Thanksgiving dinner, which will be in here on Wednesday at 5 p.m. You need to buy a ticket out yonder, and Johnny will sell those to you. I think they're 15 bucks a piece. If you want to buy one for 50 bucks, I can hook you up. But today is the last day to buy a ticket, so if you would do that. Good football game yesterday. Yeah. Tottenham won 4-3. Not sure what you're talking about. It's embarrassing. Leeds got up on us 3-1, you know. But anyway, we are 8 days away from the United States beginning total domination in the World Cup. If you thought you were sick of soccer references, you are about to be inundated. I invite you to take a breath. Or run across the worship hall, whatever you prefer to do. I invite you to take a breath, to allow the distractions of the world to fade and to allow the fullness of the joy of life to arrive. Just take a breath. May the Lord be with you. Amen. Well, we have something to celebrate, although I'm a little bit sad about it. But we were blessed earlier this year to welcome Mark to our team here in our worship, and as well we were truly blessed to welcome the Cheneys here in our church. And if you've read in our seconds, Mark has accepted a position at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church here in Lubbock. Those rascals. I text Father Justin Gibson that there is an extremely high fee to said activities, but I kid, we're thrilled for Mark. We're sad to lose him, but we're excited for this next step in his life and in their ministry. And so next Sunday, we'll have this will be the first time that I'm aware of. We'll do this in November, but next Sunday, Congregation Sha'arath will be here with us for worship. The rabbi will be speaking next on this Friday at 7 o'clock. We'll be at the synagogue, invite you to join with us. And so because Mark will begin there at St. Stephen's at the start of the liturgical year, which is the end of this month, we wanted to take some time to recognize Mark and thank him and celebrate his family. In just a moment, I invite Mark and Alyssa up if they would. But a few things Larry had shared with me. Larry said Mark was an initial threat because of his dapper fashion. And I would say, no, Larry, he's not a threat. He won. He has defeated you. We're so grateful for Mark and for Alyssa. And we would like to invite you up and we'd like to share something that is one of our sacred ways of blessing a family. So if Larry and Casey, if you would come, if you would turn to the next page in your order of worship, We will pray this blessing on them. And before we do, just a little insider baseball for you. This is a gift from our church to the Cheneys. And I'll put this right, right next to your cigarettes. Mark and Alyssa on Sunday afternoons enjoy a Bloody Mary. And so we have given them a gift card to enjoy many Sundays together. And there ain't another Baptist church in this town that gives such gifts. If you would join with us in giving thanks to God and sharing a blessing upon these dear friends together. May God's grace be upon this shawl, warming, comforting, enfolding, and embracing. May this mantle be a safe haven, a sacred place of security and well-being, sustaining and embracing in good times as well as difficult ones. May the one who receives this shawl be cradled in hope, kept in joy, graced with peace, and wrapped in love. Blessed be Mark. Amen. Would you join me in standing and give a word of
join me in the call to worship. We gather in this beautiful space to worship an amazing God, to give praise to the source of all our gifts. Sorry, surrounded by art and craft made by hands like ours, to give praise to the source of all our gifts. We are blessed to have this space to call our church home. We are more blessed to be disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us worship in this place, giving praise to God. We will worship.
Thank you.
pray together. We join our hearts, our voices, our souls with the choirs of angels proclaiming glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill to all, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. You can be seated. Invite all the children that like to come. Do you want to sit right here? Do you want to hold the book? Hey, I want to read a story with you that is, I think it's a beautiful story, and it's one that means a lot to me. So, Eva has a copy of it, and you can flip through and look at the pages too, or you can watch on the screen, and we'll see the story there too, okay? Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy, and every day the boy would come, and he would gather her leaves and make them into crowns, and he played king of the forest. He would climb up her trunk and swing from her branches and eat apples. And they would play hide and go seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree very much. And the tree was happy. But time went by and the boy grew older. And the tree was often alone. And then one day the boy came to the tree and the tree said, "Come, boy, come and climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and eat apples and play in the shade and be happy." "I'm too big to climb and play," said the boy. "I want to buy things and have fun. I want some money." "I'm sorry," said the tree, "but I have no money. I have only leaves and apples. Take my apples, boy, and sell them in the city. Then you will have money and you will be happy." And so the boy climbed up the tree and gathered her apples. And he carried them away, and the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time, and the tree said, "Eva, you can stay in one spot." And then one day the boy came back, and the tree shook with joy, and she said, "Come, boy, climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and be happy. I am too busy to climb trees, said the boy. I want a house to keep warm. I want a wife. I want children. I need a house. Can you give me a house? I have no house, said the tree. The forest is my house, but you may cut off my branches and build a house. Then you will be happy. And so the boy cut off her branches and carried them away and built his house, and the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time, and when he came back, the tree was so happy she could hardly speak. Come, boy. I am too old to play, said the boy. I want a boat that will take me far away from here. Can you give me a boat? Cut down my trunk and make a boat, said the tree. Then you will sail away and be happy. And so the boy cut down her trunk and made a boat and sailed away, and the tree was happy, but not really. And after a long time, the boy came back. I'm sorry, boy. I have nothing left to give you. I am too old to swing on branches, said the boy. My trunk is gone, said the tree. You cannot climb. I'm too tired to climb, said the boy. I wish I could give you something, but I have nothing left. I am just an old stump. I am sorry. I don't need very much now, said the boy. Just a quiet place to rest. Well, the tree said, well, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down. Sit down and rest. And the boy did, and the tree was happy. Boys and girls, I want you to know that God is so happy with you. Amen. You can go back to your moms, your dads, your family, or to preschool praise with Miss Donna. Why don't you go with Miss Donna? As the cold air rushes in, we ask that your Holy Spirit would heat our homes, would warm our hearts, that your comfort would fill us with your hope, O God. As we prepare to celebrate, as we prepare to gather, as we prepare to feast, we ask that you would give us the courage to be grateful. To recognize life is gift, and all of this you gave. And as we give thanks, as we feast, as we gather around the table and notice chairs that are unfilled, we ask that your Holy Spirit would abide, that your presence would fill each seat, that this would glorify your name, that this would lift us up into your goodness yet again. In the name of true love and hope we pray. Amen.
The Hebrew reading today is from Isaiah 65:17-22. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Six Woodlawn, Kilgore, Texas, 75662. That's where it all began. 903-984-5800. Didn't have to look up any of that. Man, I remember the day we got a second phone line. Ooh! 903-981-5800. Just one number different. Yeah. This was home. This is my memory of our family, my brothers and my parents. This is where my parents and our family divorced. Woodlawn was a tree-lined street. It was Mayberry. Our neighborhood was peppered with pine trees and with magnolias, but Woodlawn, the street, peppered with oaks, and its branches canopied the street. It was absolutely incredible. Each and every year, I remember, we went out with our ladders and such into the street to trim the branches so that cars, so that those trash trucks could actually come down our street each and every year. But in 1996... as it was about time to go catch the bus home from school, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we were not allowed to go outside to catch the bus, but we were kept in the hallway with our knees up and our heads between our knees and our hands over our heads. It was storming, and a tornado came down Woodlawn. And as I can recall, no one was seriously injured. You may hold memories sacred as to the tornado that devastated our community here in Lubbock. Thankfully, no one was, to my knowledge, injured in that tornado in Kilgore. But the oaks And the pine trees of our neighborhood and our street, they did not make it. They were giants, a generation or more in the making, and those giants became firewood. Once, what once gave the comfort and joy of shade now became a grace, keeping our homes warm. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The material we call Isaiah that we have received, thankfully, through Jim's wonderful voice, that material we call Isaiah stretches across a few hundred years. Our British friends call this book Isaiah. Would you say that? Isaiah. Now you can be arrogant and awkward all at the same time, perfectly British. Isaiah, so fun to say. Most commonly throughout scholarship, Isaiah is thought to exist in multiple sections. At least three is the most common among scholarship. Stretching hundreds of years of history, it can't be, Isaiah can't be one person. Rather, Isaiah is a tradition of prophets, many of them probably not named Isaiah at all. And by the time we reach this 65th chapter, about the year of 500 is about the time that the southern tribes who had been taken into captivity in Babylon had been allowed to slowly and surely return home. You see, hundreds of years earlier, Israel, the northern 10 tribes, had been destroyed, ransacked by white walkers and wildlings. The north will never really return. And the south, however, was taken captive. It was burnt to the ground by the Babylonians. One of the things that was always baffling to me was when we lived in Richmond, Virginia, one of the oldest parts of the city where really much of the early days of the American Revolution took place, where the very speech, "Give me liberty or give me death," was proclaimed, sort of sparking that fire of the American Revolution. When the Union soldiers came into Richmond in the Civil War, they burned it to the ground. Such is the story of human violence, jealousy. If you can't have it, no one will have it. I think this is similar to that which had taken place there in Jerusalem. The Babylonians didn't want it. They didn't want anyone else to have it either. Unlike the north, however, the south was allowed around the time of about 500 before Common Era to slowly and surely return. They began to rebuild. In the short summary of this final section of Isaiah, we might summarize as, "The south will rise again." I know that's tone deaf in other ways. That's comedy. It's not good theology or ethics. Isaiah 65, as we've already received, says this: "They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the works of their hands. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. What was once the blossom of cherries and dogwoods and even the drip of maple might now release with yellows and oranges and even scarlet." I wrote here in my notes that they might amen to a Texas Tech reference. "Leaves and shells will fall and fade, returning to the earth yet again." One of the more difficult places in all of the world that I have been is to the memorial in Oklahoma City. Similar to maybe some of the Holocaust museums that we have throughout the United States, the memorial there in Oklahoma City is absolutely incredible and yet gut-wrenching. And you may be aware that you have these empty sort of chairs peppered throughout the landscape there, representing the emptiness that we experience in our world, an emptiness that our ancestors in faith, I believe, would have known well, seeing their home burned to the ground, their temple demolished, their existence becoming no more as they're taken into slavery yet again. This speaks to an emptiness that I imagine you have experienced in various seasons of your life, maybe even an emptiness that you're experiencing now. This is at least an emptiness that others experience around us. And there at the federal building where hundreds lost their lives is a testimony, a totem. There is a tree. As recovery efforts discovered the tree after the act of terrorism, no one thought the tree would last. But today, it stands as a sprawling, shade-bearing, 80-year-old American elm, and she is known as the survivor tree. Seedlings from the tree have been planted throughout the state of Oklahoma, reminding Oklahomans of hope. Casey, if you live in Oklahoma, you need some sort of symbol of hope. If you go to St. Stephen's, there will be problems. Similarly, there's a collary pear tree that became also known as the survivor tree after enduring the September 11th, 2001 terror attacks at the World Trade Center in New York City. In October 2001, the tree was discovered at Ground Zero amidst the rubble, severely damaged. Snapped roots, burned and broken branches. The tree was removed from the rubble and placed in the care of the New York City Department of Parks and Recreation. After its recovery and extended rehabilitation, the tree was returned to the memorial in 2010. New smooth limbs extended from the gnarls, stumps, creating a visible demarcation between the tree's past, the tree's present, and the tree's possibility moving forward. Today, the tree stands as a living reminder of resilience, survival, and even rebirth. The seedlings of the 9/11 survivor tree are also sent throughout the world, in fact, and unfortunately, they're often sent to communities after they have experienced tremendous hate, harm, and violence. In the face of human selfishness, these trees proclaim hope. What was once a nice canopy has been torn down. But by God's grace, and only by God's grace, are our homes and our hearts kept warm through the winter. I would commend you to Google both of these trees. Particularly, the various colors that they emit throughout the season is absolutely inspiring. I have a file of sections of sermons that I have written, but for whatever reason, throughout the week, I've pulled them. Mike Spann, our director for operations, knows about this file that I have. And he says, Jake, you need to preach a blue plate sermon of just random things that you've cut out over the years. Sounds like he's alone in that desire. On Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, many times over the last several years, I've started in on these trees. But always by Friday or Saturday or even Sunday morning, these words about these trees don't seem to make the cut. I mean, pardon that one. But this week, particularly while looking at the survivor tree in Oklahoma City, I was captivated really in a new way, which I think is an encouraging word with general respect to reality. That which we have done over and over, that which we have seen, that which we have experienced, that which we have made, that which we have tried over and over, can in fact be seen anew. Maybe this is one word for the Holy Spirit, that we see that which maybe we've looked over and glanced past. We see it anew. There's a thread in the latter prophets of the Hebrew scripture that the southern people, as they've returned home gradually from Babylonian captivity, they begin to rebuild. They rebuild their homes. They rebuild their cities. They rebuild walls. They rebuild life. And there is a thread, particularly in Ezra, that sort of critiques this Build Back Better program. Throughout Ezra, with particular regard to that temple, there is this thread that suggests, you know, that new temple, it's fine. It's just not quite as tall as the one before. You know, that new temple, the carpet is just not the right thread count as the one before. You know, that new temple is just not as the one before. And it seems as though deep within the people, even though they've rebuilt, there is this lament for that which has been made new. The second most beautiful place in Lubbock, Texas, is our Grand Hall. I'm serious. Just walk out there today and see the light shine through these windows. It's absolutely incredible. It is the second most beautiful place in Lubbock. And there are even times where particularly members of our congregation experience this Grand Hall, looking out at the windows and being reminded of that which is not built in the grass. But this week I experienced this tree anew. And because of this experience, it made its way finally into a sermon. I was looking pictures at this tree and I became captivated. This tree that survived an explosion, survived a terrorism on April the 19th, 1995, and I will not say his name. The tree still stands. And what captivated me, 28 years later, it leans. This tilt, this lean, I think is something that we all experience. This tilt, this lean, it almost seems as though it has been woven into the fabric of human experience. I think we lean, we tilt. Jacob's name is changed to Israel, but he will forever walk with a limp. And you have been through it as well, haven't you? There's been a wrestling match. There's been an explosion. There's been an act of harm. Last week, we read very sacred names, and yet here we are. Here we are, still together. Here we are. We are still standing, but we're leaning. We're standing, but not the same way that we stood before. I am convinced that there is no such thing as straight up. I am convinced that there is no such thing as perfectly straight. There is a lean that seems to be ingrained into this thing. The entire world, the earth itself, sits on a tilt. The whole thing leans at about 23.5 degrees. I've measured it. I have a protractor I got in fifth grade. Maybe, some speculate, smarter than I, maybe it was a collision. A massive rock colliding with the earth about 3 billion years ago that knocked the earth onto its axis with two significant developments. When this massive rock collides with the earth 3 billion years ago, the moon is born. The moon is born, and the earth now sits on a tilt. And because of this moon, because of this tilt, we have seasons. The whole thing leans. And here we are, standing together. For like the days of a tree, shall the days of my people be, declares the Lord. Still standing, still blooming, still leaning. Spring, summer, fall, and winter. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand as you may be able. We'll continue to worship.
Please. God, Creator, most glorious, we gather this morning to give thanks for this day and all you have created. Lord, during this season of harvest, we are eternally grateful for the bounty you have provided to the people of the United States of America. Yet we acknowledge that not all of our brothers and sisters share in this abundance. Help us now to be generous to those in need and pour out our bounty, not only here at home, but also to all the world. God, open our hearts that we may see others as ourselves and respond with empathy, love, and peace. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
As we pass the peace together this morning, you might do the traditional peace of Christ be with you, or whatever you'd like to do to pass the peace, or you might even just say to a brother or a sister, lean on me. Let's pass the peace of Christ. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Alyssa. God bless you. As you go, may the peace of Christ beyond all human understanding be with you. May, in the words of St. Patrick, may the peace of Christ be beside you, to guard you, before you, to lead you, beneath you, to support you. May the peace of Christ be within you, to keep you, and above you, to bless you always. Amen.